Welcome in, Loons fans, to another edition of the Match Day Preview. Jonathan Harrison here, joined once again by Manny Lagos. Manny, busy week across the club and another exciting week as well. How you doing today?
I mean, it's been a pretty cool week. You know, obviously, like you said, it's just week after week. You have big news during the week, but then you have big games and you have a lot to talk about. So really a fun week off of a big win and some big news. So it was a great week.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got the introduction of Eric Ramsey as the new head coach. He'll take over his first game this weekend. We've got also, we'll review the Orlando match in depth. We'll look ahead to the LAFC match, and we'll also, we'll take a look across the league. We've got plenty to discuss coming up on this edition of the Match Day Preview. I want to start with some of the stories from around the league. Manny, there was a ton of golazos this week, a ton of wonderful goals scored. I would dare you to pick just your favorite one of the bunch that was scored across the league this week.
Ooh, that is a tough, I like put me on the spot. Let's see. So we got the Insigne's goal. We got Giamakis. We've got
Evander's
goal. Any more that I'm missing from the look, probably the top three.
Jordi Alba scored one.
Yeah, that was a great goal. Yeah. I'll put that in the top of the list for sure. Yeah. Four, any others?
Not that I can think of that would deserve to be up in this conversation.
Yeah, that's a good list.
That's a tough competition.
It really is. No, I think Alba just showed his qualities. One thing that I learned that I actually didn't know was that he was originally a center midfielder before mm-hmm. he became an outside back, and kind of his trajectory to become a Barcelona kind of a superstar. So knowing that now and seeing the quality of his composure and that was just, it gave a little bit more, like he wasn't just a pure left back, caught himself in the middle of the field and crushed it. He probably had some DNA in him that, you know, provided that kind of skill and quality. Evander has really shown already in the league for about a year now that he's got that in his wheelhouse. That wasn't just out of nowhere. He probably is one of the few players that is always looking to see if he can shoot from distance. And certainly the timing of that goal and the timing of just how they kind of came back and won that game, it was a pretty impactful one. And then Giamakis is probably the least significant in terms of the impact of the game. Well, actually, the Alba one too, but the Giamakis, I mean, that got him back in the game, whereas the Giamakis one was really, you know, when the game was done, dust and settled, but it was just not his good foot, where the ball went in the goal, and just the that pure skill was fun. But that's where I left Insigne the last. I think that's my top one at the end of the day. I think that one had, for me, just, you know, the home win for Toronto, the hug of the coach, the, you know, even them not playing well and out of nowhere, you know, this little guy not only crushes the ball, but he kind of does it in an off stride, and where he generates the power almost like a golf swing, because his technique is so pure and genuine. It doesn't matter if you're big or, you know, physically looking strong, but your ability to kind of execute that kind of technique, and just the goalie really had no idea it was coming. So to me, I think that I would give that one the goal of the week personally, but it's a tight race, definitely a tight race.
I think for me, it's the Evander one, just because of the moment, the timing in the 7th minute of second half stoppage time. It's the winner on the road and what it meant for that game. For me, that's the one that sticks out to me. And because you rarely see from that far out on the corner a goal like that go in. I mean, normally you'd like to see, or you always like to see those screamers go in, but this one, it didn't feel like there was a lot of power. There was a lot of touch on it, and it just drifted over the keeper and into the top corner. It was a beautiful goal and one of my favorites of the league so far this season. I think that one stands that for me in that order. It's that one. It's the Insigne one. They're very close because of what they meant and what they looked like. But yeah, I think for me, well, for you, it's the Insigne one. For me, it's Evander. It's some incredible goals on display this weekend across Major League Soccer, which leads us into the Orlando match, which had plenty of goals, Manny. And let's kind of just go in chronological order. It starts off 13 seconds in, Duncan Maguire scores a bad giveaway by Asani, and it leads right. It's a wonderful pass by the Orlando left back into Duncan Maguire, who slots a pass Dane St. Clair. That's not obviously not exactly the way you want to start a game, but then again, wonderful response by Minnesota and Timu Pukki a couple minutes later.
Yeah, Jonathan, I love that we're going to get right into it in first 15 seconds of the game, literally. I just want to give a little perspective from my view, just being there and kind of the buildup. You know, I think we talked in the week before how they hadn't scored a goal yet. They haven't gotten a win yet. And then it was the 10-year anniversary of Orlando City night. So you had probably their best crowd I've seen in years. All right. Jamie Watson, you know, former player here, former announcer, former player Orlando was honored there. One of our nemesis back in the day, Dom Dwyer. So they had a lot of players, there, a lot of energy. Before the game, I met with Mark Wilf, the owner of Orlando and also the owner of the Vikings, Lester Bagley, an executive for the Vikings. You know, they had, and then certainly the little bit of backstory with the Vikings, you know, and our club here and the Vikings trying to get an MLS team here and you know, kind of moving to Orlando to try to have an MLS journey within their sporting goals. It just set up to me a really cool kind of tension to the night. Like I said, with the no goals kind of theme, and then 15 seconds in, boom, that theme is over and now it's game on. So for me, it was a pretty amazing kind of like build up and then 15 seconds of their stadium exploding.
Yeah. On the broadcast, Dan and I, right before kickoff happened, I asked him, is this a good time or a bad time to catch Orlando because of how their season's gone and how tough this opening schedule is for the Loons, whether it was a good time or a bad time? And he said it's a little bit of both. And well, that showed off right away early on in the match with Duncan Maguire scoring 15 seconds in, and then Timu Pukki single-handedly creating a goal out of nowhere with that high press, which I know there was questions about how the 33-year-old would be able to handle the high press game in a game out. And he's shown, especially the past two games, that he's right on it. He's all in, bought in on this system, has been hassling goalkeepers, hassling defenders, and hassled Pedro Galese for this one, for the response goal 2 minutes later, and equalizes it minutes after Duncan Maguire thought he had put Orlando up and given them an early lead.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, the response is outstanding. You kind of alluded to Asani usually doesn't make that kind of mistake in the defensive third. And it led to just, you know, I thought a great run by Duncan. You and I highlighted him before the game and his qualities, and he just showed him right there. And just that punch was huge. And again, I think it's very easy to put your head down. And I think the guys in my brain, you know, sometimes you get scored on early, you can feel sorry for yourself. Or like I think the group did this day, you know, you got 89 minutes. It's not like you got 40 minutes or 20 minutes to kind of get back in it. And, you know, the leadership of Pukki leading that line and pressing the way you just said that, it was exciting to see. I mean, I think guys really, the response was outstanding, you know, both individually and collectively. And to your point, getting excited about those individual battles was great. And I think the finish was harder than people realize. It was a really tight angle and he really had to collect himself to put that in there. So I don't think it was easy. And it really was an outstanding response to a tough start.
Tough start indeed. But as you said, outstanding response from Timu Pukki. The big note from this match was, I guess the overall arching theme of this match is that the Loons seemed to struggle a little bit more in this match than they did in the previous two matches. Orlando seemed to be able to handle that high pressure and the intensity of Minnesota better than the previous two teams, despite ending up with the loss. It seemed like Orlando for most of the game was probably the better team on the night, and Minnesota get that late goal from Bongukile Longwane, which we'll talk about. But let's talk about why it seemed like Orlando was, I guess, handling that press a little bit better. What to you was the key for them in being able to handle what Minnesota was putting on the field?
Yeah, I think you know, let's be honest, the expected goals were huge for them versus us. So there's no doubt this had smash and grab elements to a win, which is awesome. But I think you create your own luck for that smash and grab. And I think that first half, even after we tied it up, they really came at us again and really pushed the tempo. And you know, I think in general, I think our center midfielders were just a little off. I think the other two games we kind of dominated. Our center midfielders really got on the ball, really were able to get forward, dominate the center midfield in a way that whether we had the ball or we were pressing, we could win it in good spots. And Orlando is a very good team. Second points in the league last year. And I thought they did a great job of really, after we counterpunch, of really taking over the control of tempo of the half. Now, having said that, I don't think the second goal for us was out of the blue. I do think we took some of their tempo and had to deal with it. But when we scored the goal, I thought we were getting into the game. I thought we were starting to really move the ball, and they were a little bit more like, oh, this is gonna be a tough day. We're not gonna just go back and score a goal. And so for me, the goal where you know, it was a really subtle pass by Lode, and the finish by Pukki was outstanding. You know, it was a volley that dips at the right time, or the goalie can't quite read it and has a different line of sight, and it went in. So it was great technique, and I think that was a really quality finish by him. But I think there was some moments there in that first half, even though I thought we got outplayed and gave up some really good chances, we also played some soccer at key points to allow ourselves to get into the game to score that goal.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that stood out for me the most on the second team of Pukki goal was his movement. You see him originally at the end line, and when Robin gets the ball back, he starts moving back towards the top of the box. And then he sees when Robin's kind of just has the ball there, he sees there's this open space in the middle as the defender is kind of sucked in towards Robin. And he just occupies that space. Robin knows where he's going, gets the ball over to him, and it allows him enough space and gives him enough space to get that goal in. I think that's the thing that stood out for me is rewatching that goal, is that subtle movement from Timu Pukki, finding those open areas and just waiting for those open areas to open up and then occupying them when they do.
Yeah, it was fun to see. It was fun to see Lode and Pukki connect like that. Because again, Lode, I mentioned the center midfielders had a bit of an off day. There's no doubt about it. And like that pass, you know, was one of those key things where it was subtle, where it allowed Pukki to do what he does really well, which he just mentioned. He plays off the shoulder of the defender, you know, really kind of quicks moving one way, then comes back the other way. And the ball's played in a way where he can kind of have that quick release volley. So outstanding goal. And again, like I said, it showed some quality in Pukki that, you know, he's been doing his whole career.
So then back to the game plan on the night. Did Orlando put on tape how best to play against Minnesota this season? Or was that just, as you said, the midfielders being a little off on Saturday night?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think, you know, the reality is we're going to play against some really good teams that, you know, can break our lines and break our press, and how we react to it, or how even we give up a goal react. That's why this is such a fun game to talk about, because there were so many moments where we were pushed with some adversity of how we were trying to play and how Orlando wanted to play. And ultimately, like I said, they were really hungry to push a tempo, hungry to get goals, hungry to get a win, hungry to get their crowd going. And I just felt like we, throughout the entire game, absorbed those moments. And again, I think the Pukki goal showed how we got to halftime up. But there was no doubt, you know, this halftime was a little bit different than the other ones. You know, we weren't like Austin, where we were like dominating with corners and shots on goal in the game. This was a game where we knew the second half was going to have to be played out differently than the other games, because we weren't quite playing as well. So for me, the key part of that was getting the half up and then allowing Cam the ability to really manage the second half. And I think for me, the tactically interesting thing about the second half was how quickly Cam realized he had to make subs. Other games, he was looking probably more like 60, 65th minute. I thought it was really brave, and I thought he realized this game needed to change right away, or they were going to get the tying goal very early in the second half. You know, he started making subs, I think, in the 54th minute.
Yeah, Arriaga coming in for Lode, and then Tani Oluwaseye coming in the 55th minute for Caden Clark. And Oluwaseye continues to show out, 3 points now in three games, if you're taking the hockey terms, with the assist again in the latter portions of the match, which we'll talk about. But I think another one of the overriding themes of the match is Orlando, and you mentioned the expected goals, 4.1 to 1 for this match, which just shows how this game, for the most part, was played, is that Orlando had a ton of chances, but for some reason or another, they just failed to convert on the numerous chances they had. And Minnesota, as you said, absorbed a ton of pressure, absorbed a ton of hits, and just kept coming back.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I obviously the first half that Felipe won was really probably the biggest miss of the game. And you know, something that, you know, we can say, hey, we got incredibly lucky on. I mean, maybe not as much of my line of creating our own luck. But in the second half, you know, even the McGuire one was a little bit like, I think he didn't see it late and it kind of hit off him and almost went in. But for me, again, I think that brings up a player that I didn't mention as much, I think, in the first couple of games. I thought Dane had an outstanding night. You know, he made all the easy saves, and he made the tough saves, and he made a couple big saves. And he really, I thought, did a good job of, you know, keeping us in it, even though we were winning, which is kind of weird to say, until Duncan's goal, which was an outstanding goal. I mean, ultimately, that second goal, I think really, you know, we lost the ball. I think Tani did in a bad spot. But it showed his quality again, that this is a young up and coming player. And really, again, I think if that goal probably happened 20 minutes later, it would have been a tougher sell for us to maybe we could have eked out the tie, but I certainly don't think we probably would have kind of, like I said, created our own luck to have the smash and grab win. So for me, outstanding goal by McGuire, but very similar to the first goal in the first 15 seconds, our response was outstanding. You know, ultimately after that, and we can talk about it, the response after they scored, we were like, for sure we're going to tie and hopefully we'll win, was the kind of mentality.
We'll get to that goal in a second. I do want to bring up something you a question I had off something you brought up, and Cameron managing the second half, putting your head coach hat on. What goes into managing a game like that when it clearly feels like the field at times is tipped against you? You got out of the first half a goal ahead through a good run of play, but it still feels like, and especially how Orlando came out in the second half, it still feels like the field's tilted a little bit against you. What goes into managing that second half and keeping that lead and keeping the guys invested, even when they do go down a goal late in the match or give up that equalizing goal late in the match?
Yeah, certainly you're going into half, even though you're up, you're thinking, hey, we got to have a good 45 minutes. And he certainly has to make some tactical adjustments for those 11. He has to think about, okay, how am I going to make sure that we're starting to get the ball more? We're starting to kind of control the game again and making sure we're limiting them to create the waves of attacks to tie the game or get back into the game early into the second half and then for the next 45 minutes. So for me, that reality that he realized, even the tactical adjustments he made at halftime, coaches sometimes tend to like to wait till like the 60th minute to really show their hand. And Cam really said, no, I don't want this to be tied when I show my hand. I want to start to make changes and really get there early. And so, you know, 8-9 minutes into a second half is very early and not always often. So again, I use the word brave. I thought Cam was very brave to decide that subs, which change games, he was going to do right away because he felt like the current group didn't quite have the energy and didn't quite have the tactical acumen as 11 of that group to get out of the kind of pressure Orlando was putting on the team.
Yeah, and this is where we'll bring up the substitutions and the goals that came in late in the match. You mentioned the substitutions early on. We mentioned them as well. Arriaga, 54th. Oluwaseyi in the 55th. Bungahukle Hlongwane in the 66th as well. So you're bringing on some young, fresh legs to change kind of the pace of the game. And it had an impact immediately. But then Duncan McGuire scores in the 83rd minute. Tapias tracking back a little bit too far, giving McGuire a little bit too much space. And McGuire absolutely laces a ball on the far post past Dane St. Clair. And then the Loons respond late in stoppage time with a three-pass effort that starts with Dane St. Clair just bombing the ball upfield on the clearance. And one of the substitutions, Jordan Adebayo-Smith, heads it on to Tani Oluwaseyi, who sees Bungahukle Hlongwane running off the back shoulder of the defender, slides the pass through to him, and Bongi makes an impact in his first game back for this season.
Yeah, no, I think the goal I think came off of us responding again to Duncan McGuire's great goal.
Yeah.
Again, I think it was a timing where I think Orlando said, we're playing well, we're going to get after this, we're going to win this game. And I think we stayed focused. We stayed in a way that I think had them put numbers forward and maybe a little bit complacent about whether they thought we had another counterpunch in us. And a credit to the guys, because, you know, it was just one of those moments where, you know, Dane composed himself. Then he made sure guys were in the right spots for that goal kick. And Adebayo Smith was a little bit off too. He wasn't quite as sharp for a few minutes of just getting. He hasn't had a lot of minutes, so I'm not expecting him to be perfect. But he wasn't quite as sharp. But in that moment, and again, where we got our numbers in good spots, we had guys that were ready to get forward. From Dane's goal kick to his flick, and then you mentioned to Tani's composure. Not only was it our three guys, but we also unsettled Orlando because they were trying to get their guys forward,
yep.
and they weren't ready to be in a good shape to deal with our guys wanting to see if we can, you know, counterpunch and win this game. So the quality of the header, the quality of Tani's composure was so much like Austin, where he really, you know, things are happening faster than people realize out there, and things are much faster. But at the end of the day, he composed himself to make it look like a slow movement when everything was actually really fast. And he passed the ball in a way that allowed, very similar to Braun against Austin, to really have the goalie be in no man's land for Bonga to have that finish. And not taking discredit to Bonga, it was an outstanding finish, outstanding run. But again, I think Tani showed some great composure to really kind of settle that play down, to make the right pass at the right moment to allow for us for win the game. And it just kind of encapsulated, I think, a great 3 weeks for the club in terms of our mentality, how we're going to go about early in the season dealing with the adversity of the teams that we play. And we've been playing some really high level teams. So it was a great, great win. It's very fair to say, like I mentioned, you know, some individuals, it wasn't their best days. Some of our collective areas, it wasn't our best days, but overall, the group battle and fight, you couldn't walk up the field and feel proud of them. And even the melee at the end of the game, which I don't know if the fans got to see in the broadcast, was to me a little bit of a reality that Orlando, you know, kind of pushed us and our guys didn't back down. You know, yeah. They were like, hey, you know, we were really proud of this performance, like our last 3 weeks. So it was just a great night. Like I said, the guys were just ready to battle adversity. And I don't think you create that last goal out of luck. I think that was through just some really good unity throughout the group.
Normally in the beginning parts of the season, you start to see narratives form about different clubs as the long season gets underway. And it feels like the narrative around Minnesota United this season early on, I know it's only 3 weeks, so it's hard to say that it's a set in narrative, but it seems like it's going to be that the great spirit, the never give up, the fighting, the just battling through adversity. Is that going to be the narrative surrounding this team all year long, or will there be more, I guess, comfort growing into this new system that we see, and we'll start to see more game management and more control over games rather than having to fight and scrap through every single last minute?
You know, I think all of the above are important. You know, I think it's above to grow into like battling the adversity and making sure guys are hungry to never give up and always believe they can win a game. I think it's important that we get to a point where we get hungry about maybe controlling the tempo and controlling the game more. But at the end of the day, that's what early games are. They're to kind of build into what you want to get out of it. So to me, it's exciting. It is early. So you should be excited. I mean, we're going to go through some moments here where we still have to kind of reflect and grow as a team, but there's no doubt, you know, this early kind of template of against really tough teams, it's exciting because it means the guys aren't backing down and they're hungry to fight together.
You don't have to wait for spring training to start playing the beautiful game this year. Minnesota United has a full slate of academy and youth camps scheduled throughout 2024. Show off your skills, take your game to the next level, and enjoy some quality time on the field with MNUFC's licensed academy staff. Visit the camps and combines page on MNUFC.com for more information. Yeah, absolutely. Back to Tani Oluwaseye. Two assists, one goal so far this season after a wonderful loan last year that worked out incredibly well for him. What about that loan helped him, I guess, get comfortable playing at the MLS level, playing for Minnesota United, coming off the bench, being a super sub this season? What about that loan helped him, I guess, develop into the player we're seeing now?
Yeah, I think anytime you can put somebody in an environment where they can be the best version of themselves and really show what they are, which is he's a forward. He makes good runs. He pushes the line back. He scores goals. He scored a ton of goals. He makes the game vertical at times when it needs to be vertical. So I really thought, again, he had a entrance where he gave a lot of energy. He wasn't finding the ball a lot because we were struggling to control the game, but he didn't give up. He was really was, you know, I think even, I don't think he got a yellow, but he had some fouls there where maybe you can tell me if he did or didn't, but I don't think he did, but he had some fouls where he was just being a pest. And ultimately, yeah, like I said, he didn't give that up. He's like, I got to get in good spaces. I want to be in between the lines for if the ball pops up, I can help create a great chance. And that loan last year, I think was huge for us. It gave us a chance to see him at a high level, score goals, and know that he can score goals. And I think for him individually, so important as a goal scorer to remind yourself to at this level that as you grow into a young man that has a perfect career, you can do it. And I think having that belief is so important.
How do you keep a kid's confidence like that when he's coming off the bench every week? He's not getting starts because you have a guy like Timu Pukki in front of him. How do you keep his confidence up and keep his belief up when he's putting in the results to show that he deserves to be a starter, but there's obviously guys in front of him who are also doing the same to hold on to their starting spot?
Yeah, I just think the particularly early in the year, but it's a year. I mean, the reality is, I think you make sure the group knows that there's not starters and reserves. There's a team, and teams have roles. And I've never been involved in a team in my many years of playing, many years of coaching, where right now is not how the team's going to be, and the team's going to have this 11 for the rest of the year. And so to me, that belief in getting guys to understand that their roles are fluid, they will come and go, the ebb to starters and to fringe starters, to reserves. It's all about opportunity and how you make sure you're ready to contribute to the team and when you do it. So for me, I think Tani's in a good space right now where he's really hungry and ready to contribute when he can and how he can. And you see where things go from there. And I think if you get too caught about lamenting or thinking about that, you're going to get caught in not performing in the moment, which is most important for him and every guy on our team right now, is to be ready to kind of be there for the group. And I don't know if that's a segue into this weekend, but, you know, I'll start with, we have a new back line for the first time all year starting this weekend. So we're going to have that come up a lot as injuries, as suspensions, as tactical changes happen out of starting 11.
Yeah, absolutely. That perfect segue. It's like you've been doing this radio podcast and business forever. That gets us right into the LAFC match. As you mentioned, Yosef Rosales out due to suspension, due to the melee after the match. So the Loons will have a new back line for the first time, which that back line, that was one of the questions that I had that I skipped past, was it's come under question a little bit because of that match in Orlando. How do you think they get back into the back line that we saw against Austin that really shut down that Austin team?
Well, I mean, let's start with a different opponent than Austin this weekend. You know,
yes, very much so.
We are having a team that is incredibly good over the last couple of years and, you know, one of the top teams in the West for sure and league. And so I think it's a big opportunity to see who plays in that position. And then it's a big opportunity for the back line to really embrace that, you know, you have some individual and collective offensive players that are going to get after it for 90 minutes. And so that they're going to have to be organized and ready to, you know, really embrace their own individual 1v1 defending, their athleticism. And then collectively, along with the rest of the guys, the 11 other, or sorry, the seven other players, but the other guys in the field, how they're going to really manage to unsettle a great offensive group of players in LAFC.
Yeah, different LAFC than we've seen in years past. Novella, Atuesta is back in the midfield. This is a different, as I said, different LAFC. They've struggled a little bit this season. They got the 2-1 win against Seattle. So in the first week, which was one of the key matchups in week one, was the battle of the perennial Western Conference favorites in LAFC and Seattle. But since then, they've struggled. They got beat 3-0 at Real Salt Lake, which there'll be the excuses of the snow, but both teams were playing in the snow, so you can't really have that as your overarching excuse. And then it was a 0-0 draw against Sporting Kansas City, last week, what have you seen from LAFC that is different from, I guess, the past couple of years where they've been really incredibly dominant?
Yeah, I think probably interesting enough, I think the player that I'll go up against, whoever replaces Joseph at left back, Oliveira, hasn't quite found his footing yet. You know, he's somebody who's super fast, quick. I still don't think he's completely settled in the league to really be a dominant player on a team like LAFC. So I think that'll be kind of a fascinating matchup out there, just to for us to hopefully make sure we contain him and make sure we kind of get after him in a weird way and even make him defend. But on the other side of it, Bogush and Boanga, their qualities are so high that it really is going to be a huge game for us, because they tend to not have multiple poor games in a row or multiple games where they don't score. So for me, Bogush is a young up-and-coming player. Like, if you're a fan of soccer, he's still raw and still has some moments where he's not quite there. But he's also incredibly, he's kind of a slasher dribbler where you really have to be aware of his qualities. He finds the ball a ton. And Boanga, to me, is probably the best individual talent in the league. You know, and I think that's both good for LAFC because you have the best talent and that is overwhelming. But sometimes figuring out how to use that individual talent can also mean that they have to build in their season about how they're going to go about the tempo of their attacks, how they're going to decide when to control the game or when to try to really get after you. And so for me, their identity there is somewhere hopefully we can expose and continue to really frustrate them and frustrate him. You know, he is an outstanding player. He's so dangerous, but I think you can get under him a little bit if you really kind of understand that, you know, you are dealing with that kind of quality. And if you both individually and collectively really shut them down, sometimes they lose their way in terms of how they're going to create offensive chances.
You mentioned when we were talking about the Orlando game, our midfield being a little bit off. They're going up against a very talented midfield this week in Tillman, Sanchez, Atuesta, extremely talented, different age profiles, different profiles as players between the three. How does that midfield work together? Because it just seems like they're three very, very different players. And then how is the best way to get the better of them? Because they are, as we said, one of the better midfield three in the league.
Yeah, it's a big, big, big response game for us, for the center midfielders, because we really need them to really be hungry to you know, push the line, press, recover, get the ball. You know, tempo of the game for LAFC is always massive, and we need to make sure we don't allow them to set the tempo for 90 minutes, because that won't bode well for us. So we've got to really have our guys and our center midfielders be hungry to battle them. I think one of the things I would say is, you know, as good as Sanchez is at times, I think he can show his age, and he's somebody that we have to make sure we move around the field a lot and make sure that we don't allow him to control the tempo, because that's when he can get into the game, get in the ball, and he can be good. If we can really make sure we're moving him around, make sure we're physical when we need to be, he's somebody that I think you can unsettle. You know, Atuesta and Tillman, you know, younger profiles, legs, they get around the field. Again, I think it'll be a great matchup. I think it's a great battle. At the end of the day, that part of the field is massively important for us to not allow LAFC to have the tempo to play they want to do, but they have to deal with us as opposed to the other way around.
Are we hoping for a little bit of snow?
I would love some snow. That would be good good banter to Steve Trundle's comments at the RSL game for sure. But either way, I think it's an exciting game for us. I think it's one, hopefully, like the Columbus game, we get excited about embracing a great team come to town, not backing down. And in this case, making sure we get our first win at home this year. So
yeah,
for me, it's exciting. I think, and speaking of players, I obviously, you know, for the Minnesota fans, and you have these kind of journeyman soccer stars that come into MLS. I think Hugo Lloris is a big name to mention. Yeah. Somebody who's won a World Cup championship, somebody who's had an amazing career, somebody that I'm curious to see what his level is going to be at for 34 games week in and week out, and his hunger to perform for them. He has looked pretty sharp except the RSL game. So this will be fascinating to see him live. Somebody who, like I said, historically has been one of the better goalies in the world, now playing in this league, is exciting to go see live. And then I like to sometimes put out people that maybe not everybody thinks of. I think Ryan Hollinshead is,
yes,
just an amazing player.
One of my favorite wingbacks in the league.
Yeah, Jonathan. I'm a big fan of these American players that maybe aren't quite had a career to be like consistent national team players, but they are kind of to me like the DNA of MLS. You know, there's he's somebody who can score goals, can defend, can do whatever the game needs to do. You know, I put him in the line of a Dax McCarty, a Christian Roldan, a Jeff Lorenitz, a Michael Parkers. There is a DNA about MLS that I'm really proud of, that there's these kind of American players that are so important to these teams. And a lot of times you kind of talk about the big stars and you don't realize in soccer, you really need those other kind of players to do it. And there's no doubt Ryan Tomlinson is really one of those players that really makes them tick in a lot of ways. I mean, you'll find him getting the box on headers if that's what their team needs. You'll find him defending to block a cross if that's what their team needs.
He, as I said, he's one of my favorite fullbacks, wingbacks, whatever you want to call him, in the league, and is a player that I wish was on Minnesota, but he's not. But so for the 90 minutes against LAFC, I will not be cheering for him, but most of the time he's one of my favorite players. And as you said, he's just one of those players that is a foundational piece for generally winning teams. Christian Roldan, Dax McCarty, those guys tend to be on winning teams because of what they mean. And he's one of my favorite. I want to go back to the Lloris comment and conversation, is because that's one of the more interesting signings from the offseason, because you rarely see a club invest heavily in a goalkeeper in this league with how the roster construction rules are set up and how everything's set up in this league. You rarely see teams invest that much in a goalkeeper. They tend to go more American-based or look through the college system and build up their goalkeepers. But him, Roman Berkey, kind of a, I wouldn't say a wave of change, but two more interesting signings over the past couple of years in teams deciding a different way to spend some of their roster allocation and bringing in a star goalkeeper who's had a wonderful career, who've had wonderful careers across the pond in Europe.
Yeah, no, I mentioned, I'm really excited to see him. I think, you know, Roman Berkey has come in and shown, hey, I'm ready to go into this league and I'm ready. I'm hungry to be the best version of myself as a goalie. I'm interested as a fan with Hugo Lloris, because I've obviously from afar been a fan of one of the bigger name goalkeepers in the world for many decades. And so for me, it's going to be fun to see him live and see if he's, you know, ready and hungry to be an MLS and show his qualities. And that's one of the things I love about the league, is you kind of have some of these players who, if they're not ready, particularly on a really good team like LAFC, it that project might not go well. But again, he's shown some good qualities early, so it'll be really fun to see him live. It'll be fun for us to get after him. Hopefully fun for us to score a bunch of goals and win the game against him. But like I said, I think as a fan, a soccer fan, I think it's a fun one, to go see if you've never seen a player like that live.
Is that something you think we'll see more of coming down the pipe here in a couple years with the success of Berkey, with possibly the success of Lloris? We'll see how it goes this season. With the success of these more veteran, more expensive goalkeepers, is that something you'll see more of? You think we'll see more often as teams continue to build out the rosters and find different ways to build out their rosters in this league? Or do you think that's just going to be a couple shots here or there?
Well, I think it's not by coincidence that there's more and more players around the world that look at MLS and want to come to MLS. You know, it's like we actually didn't even talk about it. The biggest thing is Ramsey this weekend.
Yeah.
His first head coaching game. I mean, that's unbelievable that we didn't even start there, but I bring that up because it has a similar vein of, you know, this is where a young up and coming, you know, coach wants to start his trajectory as head coaching. That says so much about, I think, about this league and about the opportunity. And then to put on my Minnesota cap, it says so much about us already getting to know him this first week and his own personal aspirations, his kind of studying of our team, of our league, of Minnesota United. It gets me excited. So to me, you know, I'm going to go into Eric right after I say the Hugo Lloris thing. Yeah. As long as teams are doing it and finding hungry players, quality players that want to play in MLS, they'll do fine. They'll be great. If you find players that think this is a league that, you know, is something where if they're not hungry and they can kind of live in America and hang out, they're going to get found out because the league is at that point. And that's incumbent about the clubs to find the players, whether they're young or old, to be hungry to contribute to the league. So to me, it's exciting to see, you know, that trajectory is going to be finding quality talent that improves the league. And then I'll let you speak a little bit, but I think it's a good segue to go into Ramsey as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll start this weekend. We got to see his opening press conference yesterday. Plenty of good words, well spoken. Said he's been reviewing and watching and taking part and getting ready for this club for the past couple months after learning that he'll get the gig. As a Manchester United fan, I am excited for Manchester United guy to come over here. But as a Minnesota United fan, I am really excited for the new head coach to see how he can help this club improve on what we've seen over the first 3 weeks. And that's kind of where I want to steer the conversation a little bit. With how the first 3 weeks have gone, there's a little bit of pressure on him, is there not, to keep this thing rolling? And I mean, it doesn't get any tougher than LAFC coming in. I don't want to put too much pressure on our own head coach, but it feels like with how well these first 3 weeks have gone, yes, Orlando was a little bit different than the previous 2 weeks, but it feels like there's a little bit of pressure of you don't want to upset the apple cart of how this thing is rolling along so far.
Yeah, you're right, Jonathan. I think the rebuttal would be there's going to be pressure. You know, ultimately, fair. He's becoming a head coach. There's going to be pressure week in, week out. It's part of growing into being a head coach and figuring out how to win games and figuring out how to kind of evolve a team and do that. And so for me, there's no doubt he getting here and getting to work with the guys this week. You mentioned a great vibe at the press conference yesterday. I think he's somebody that feels really confident in his workload as an assistant, his workload as various roles, being ready for this role. And I can only say for me, just even observing early on, you know, just little things in training, you know, he clearly has studied the team. He knows every guy's name. He uses every guy's name in training. He's somebody that wants to roll up his sleeves and get after it. So the pressure's there. I think he's aware of it. And I think no matter what, I think that's what being a head coach is. I think that's what being a leader of a club is.
So first time gig taking over, what goes into, let's bring you back to your first head coaching game.
Scary.
What was the overriding thought in your mind going into that game? And I guess what was a bigger fear for you than, and it ended up actually being, what was on the top of your mind that was making you most nervous about that first game? And then you realized, oh, that actually doesn't really matter at all.
Yeah. For me, I think it was 1-1 in Vancouver, by the way, was my game. So I thought we were, had a chance to, if we didn't stay organized defensively and we gave up some goals, we could have lost 3 or 4-0. We were still for sure raw and going to build into the kind of team we were. So I wasn't as confident about how we were going to perform because I didn't really know. So I think it's a little bit different for Eric here in terms of, you know, the third game of the season. I think he's done a lot of back end work on the guys and the group. I think he kind of understands a little bit more about how he thinks the game and what he wants the game to play out in terms of for us to get the result. So for me, I think there's I think it's going to be more about me getting excited about him being welcomed by the club, by our fans, and just the environment at Allianz Field. I think it's going to be electric. I think, you know, hopefully we can get him to feel like this is a great place, a great home, and that we're going to have a supportive club to really be behind his decision to come here.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to Eric Ramsey taking over on Saturday at Allianz Field. A couple of other news items on the docket before we head off and get ready for this game in another busy week for Minnesota United. 5 international call-ups for the Loons: Michael Boxall with New Zealand, Robin Lud with Finland, as well as Timu Puki, Josep Rosales, Honduras, and Dane St. Clair with Canada. Another big couple weeks for those guys as they head off to play for their international squads. Can't be more excited for those guys as they continue to get call-ups for their national team squads.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, like I said, you know, we're coming to our first international breakup here in just a little bit. And, you know, certainly we've got some great leaders on the team and certainly got some guys who, you know, are newer to national teams, or they're guys who've been, you know, kind of staples of their teams, which is so important for us. And I couldn't be prouder of the guys that go and represent their countries and also, you know, represent a little bit of Minnesota United while they're representing their countries.
Absolutely. A couple other games as well to note: the U.S. Open Cup match for MNUFC 2 against Chicago House on Wednesday, as well as the international friendly at Allianz Field against St. Patrick's Athletic as well on Wednesday, the misremembering my dates at this point, Wednesday the 20th, excuse me. Excited for those matches. We'll talk about them as well coming up next week on the match day preview. Plenty to discuss and plenty to get excited about, Manny. Do you have a prediction heading into this LAFC match?
I don't tend to give predictions, but okay. I will tell you, I couldn't be more excited for showcasing Allianz Field for our new head coach. I couldn't be more excited for our fans to have a team like LAFC that is an outstanding team and opponent for us to kind of put a product in the field to push and try to get the win. So I'm really excited about the game this weekend. I think it's part of this kind of first batch of games where we are playing some of the better teams in the league. And it's really exciting to see where we're at and where we're trying to go. And hopefully we can keep the momentum of the first couple of weeks in terms of how we're dealing with the adversity and how we're dealing with trying to get results.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it just because, as you mentioned, yet another in a string of matches against really tough opponents from last season. Most of those guys have carried it on into this season to some good early play early on. So have the Loons. Excited to get this game going on Saturday, 7:30 a kickoff. You can see that on Apple TV, as well as listen to it with Dan Terrar and myself on 1500 ESPN, 7 o'clock pre-match show with Dan Terrar and myself on 1500 ESPN as well. Manny, good talking to you this week. We will talk to you next week after hopefully another Loons win.
All right. Thank you very much.
Looking forward to it. Loons fans, we'll talk to you next week.